here we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Before You Bet. Aaron live right now on the Covers YouTube and X channels. If you're watching on YouTube, smash that like button right down there. Smash that subscribe button right down there. A lot of great content here on the Covers YouTube channel. A lot of great content to come to. Football season right around the corner. We cannot wait. So big show today. For a Wednesday, six picks for Major League Baseball. We're going to continue our look at NFL futures markets. We're going to be taking a look at our favorite quarterback season-long props. And then at the back end of the show, we have a PGA tournament getting underway tomorrow, the FedEx St. Jude Championship. We're going to have our three best bets for that. If you guys want to participate in the show, it is very easy to do so. Just hit up that live chat in YouTube and on X. Let us know what you're betting on tonight in Major League Baseball, tomorrow for the golf tournament, and all season long in the NFL. Who do you like? Which team's going to be a bust? Which team's going to be a sleeper? Who's winning the Super Bowl? Let us know, and we will read a few off over the course of the program here. Okay, so let's get rolling here with Major League Baseball. Let's bring in my first guest of the day. The man, there he is with the sexiest smile. And all of sports betting, our guy Jingles. Jingles, how are we making out?
Coming off a good day on the diamond yesterday. Just to reiterate a point that we kind of talk to sometimes about the paths versus an under versus the paths to an over. There's always more paths to the under, right? Cutter Crawford, we were talking about him. Cutter Crawford was perfect through five innings.
Yeah.
Pulled. In the sixth inning, didn't even get his 17 and a half outs and gave up four runs, even though he left the bases loaded and two were walked in. It's just, you can't go from a perfect game to, you can go from a perfect game to getting out that inning, but you can never go terrible game to perfect game.
Nothing fault. Like, no other bet type or no other sport has bets fall off a cliff more than Major League Baseball. You know, things could be looking all fine and dandy towards your under bet. Then out of nowhere, a three-run home run happens, and then you're completely screwed. But I was on the over in that game last night, so I was happy to see the Red Sox walk those runs in. They combined for, I think it was 13 runs in that game last night at Fenway. More on that game right now, actually. Let's get right into it here. So six total picks for Major League Baseball from Jingles and I. We're going to start in Fenway. I'm going to stay on the over train here. Going to go over 9, minus 120 with the Rangers. In town here, the overtrain for both of these teams. I do expect it to continue. The Rangers are on a 13-4 overrun right now, 15-3 for Boston. A lot of this is due to really bad pitching from both sides. We saw the teams combine for 13 runs last night. All five matchups between the teams this season have seen at least 9 total runs. Very much a disaster pitching situation for the Rangers. Basically a bullpen day with stunning Dane Dunning opening for a bullpen, which has been absolute bullshit. One of the worst in baseball here. A 6.27 ERA over the last 2 weeks for them. Tanner Houck gets the ball here for the Red Sox. He was great in the opening, the first half of the season. Out of the All-Star break, not so good here. Allowing a lot of base runners, a lot of hard contact. Strikeout numbers are down. He's being backed by a bad bullpen too. A 5.61 ERA for Boston's bullpen over the last 2 weeks. Give me over 9 with the defending World Series champion, Texas Rangers. Talk about a team that fell off a cliff. I know they had some injuries and stuff like that, but not a good season here for the Rangers. Very disappointing. Okay, Jingles, next up, Montgomery on the mound here. Former Texas Ranger. What do you like or not like for him?
Montgomery's an interesting case, right? So as bettors, we need to understand that, and Derek Hardy mentioned it today on the release show, that you should be willing as a bettor to bet on any number over, under, versus a certain player given a specific price. And with Jordan Montgomery, we've been hitting his over hits allowed, but I think that's time to dip on the other side. The market has gone too much, especially versus the Rockies at home. The Rockies, obviously the Rockies, so this is a great matchup. Caesars was asleep for a lot of this morning, hanging this under 5.5 hits allowed at plus 159. 365 was about 6.5 they opened. They had minus 125, and that quickly got hit to the under. There's still a plus 140 available out there and still a play on this spot. And the thing we saw about Montgomery in his last start, he was pitching well. And then in his final inning, the wheels fell off. So they might be feeling that they pushed him a little too much. He's coming off a 13-game high in pitches. So that coupled with how he performed in his last inning might give the management a little less incentive to pitch him deep today, which obviously helps with the under hits allowed. Projects for 90 pitches, which might be a little high in this spot. Easy matchup. Market's going to the under. Let's get that plus money on Montgomery, who is not a great pitcher, but guess what? The Rockies aren't a great offense either.
Okay, go to the live chat. I'm sorry, underscore JK has Ellie De La Cruz over half a steal plus 110. I don't think in my entire life I've ever placed a bet on a player to steal a base. Not that I have anything against the steals, Merky. You do kind of need things to line up, though. First of all, you need the guy to get on base. You need the situation for him to be stealing a base to be there as well. You ever bet the stolen base market, Jingles?
Yeah, I was betting them heavily with Cincinnati last year, round robin the team with like four guys, twos, and sets of threes. And it worked out because they ran a lot. But like you can notice immediately, if a game goes one-sided, no one's stealing a bag. Like if you're up six runs, you're not allowed to steal a bag, because if you do, you're going to get a ball in the ear hole.
You're an asshole, yes, pretty much. Okay, let's keep rolling here with the picks for tonight. I am fading Orioles starter Dean Kramer. I think a pretty good number on him. We're going to take under 17 and a half outs, minus 115 on this one against the Washington Nationals. So he's struggling to pitch deep into games. Kind of surprised to see this number at 17 and a half because he's 1-8 against this number and has lost 9 appearances. Taking on a Nats team that's decent against right-handed pitching. Eighth in OPS with a low strikeout percentage over the last 2 weeks. They're going to put a lot of balls in play against Kramer, hopefully get on base and get that pitch count up. And he's in awful form right now. He's awful here in August. Only 2 starts, small sample size, but 9 earned runs, 17 base runners allowed in those 2 games. And it's not like he was going up against the Yankees and Dodgers. It was against the Blue Jays and the Guardians. He has not been good at home either, where he has a 5.40 ERA. The Dean Kramer, under 17 and a half outs. Next up, Edward Cabrera. Marlins fans must be very excited about this tonight, right?
I mean, he's trash too, right? He's maybe one of the worst walk pitchers in baseball. I was just looking at the Discord right now. Someone mentioned that Kyle Schwarber's batter walk total today is 1.5. Plus 210 to the over, which just tells you what kind of pitcher Edward Cabrera is. He does have some strikeout stuff, but recently he's coming off a season high 106 pitches, and he was averaging 85 pitches per game in his previous starts before that. This is one of my favorite pitching angles to bet on. Guys who are coming off big games, they get scaled back. Young pitcher like Cabrera, the same thing. And the quantity just isn't there in the same thing. So he's also got terrible splits. He's 7.08 ERA on the road. And he's projected for 14.7 outs, which puts that at a pretty good pace of about 33% K rate, which he isn't. Give me Cabrera under 5.5 strikeouts, even money play this to minus 115.
Okay, next up, jumping on a favorable number, I think a really good spot for Joey Estes of the Oakland A's. Not often that we're backing Oakland A's starting pitchers here, but this number is too high. 3.5 earned runs, taking on the Mets team, minus 135. I think it's a great bargain. Estes has been pretty solid here for the A's post-All-Star, 3.24 ERA. And here's the thing. He's 8-1 against this number in his last 9 starts. He's only allowed 3 or more earned runs once in the spin. And bring it all together, the Mets are really struggling against right-handed pitching right now. They are 29th versus righties over the last 2 weeks of the season. So we're going to take Estes under 3.5. Next up, we have Blanco on the bump here for the Astros, taking on the Tampa Bay Rays, Tropicana Field, the biggest dump in all of professional sports. I've seen better turfs on sunburnt mini putt courses. Team back in Montreal, the Expos.
Same.
But yeah, you Blanco here, you have him targeted. What are we looking at for him?
Just another thing, as we see these playoff teams, they need to protect their young arms. And right now, Ronald Blanco is at an innings pitch that he's never been at in his career. Okay, so his numbers are getting high. He's been scaled back in his last two games. He's not pitched more than 90 pitches in back-to-back starts, and he's failed to get 18 outs in four straight starts. If this is another short outing, this market is substantially going to move. We saw his under strikeouts plummet this morning. We wanted to release it 6.5 minus 115, move to minus 150. He projects for 15.7 outs here. And like I said, the K, if you can get the K's at a good price, get it. But that number's pretty much dried up. I know it's Tampa Bay. They haven't really quit. I was against Yusei Kikuchi yesterday. He kind of, well, he didn't get his outs, but I think he allowed just the one earned run. But this is a spot where they need these arms late. Houston's trying to push for that playoff spot, and it's you're just going to see it. And I started writing an article today just showcasing all of these pitcher edges spots where you see it. Guys are getting scaled back. It's the end of the season. They have innings limits. There's guys they don't want to push too hard. There's guys who are wearing down that they know, and they have limits. So we saw it with Assad yesterday, Javier Assad. We saw it with Cutter Crawford. They pulled him early, and hopefully Blanco falls into that same category.
Justin Verlander due back, I think, next week here for the Astros. It'll be interesting to see what he has left in the tank as the Astros playoff push continues. I think 42 years old now for Verlander. So starting to break down here potentially, though. Okay, let's shift gears over to the NFL now. Let's bring in our third man, the Magic Ass Man himself. A pretty nice smile there. Have you been whitening your teeth, Mettler? Nice and shiny whites there. How are we making out?
We're good. We're good. I actually went to the Tigers game. He was just talking about scaling back pitchers. So something just popped in my mind. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head there, but like Scooble got pulled yesterday at 83 pitches. So I kind of feel like that falls into it. Was a big lead.
I think it was 107 to 2, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But I was actually wondering, like you're talking about that article you just wrote, Scooble's right behind Dylan Cease to lead Major League Baseball in strikeouts, right? So like he could kind of fall off of that if they dial him back. I don't know what the numbers are. I don't know what the odds are, but I was just thinking about that as you were talking there.
I mean, you'll see it. There's no reason for them to push Scooble other than possibly get that Cy Young. That's the only thing going for him. And I don't think they really want to. I don't think they care. I don't think teams really care about it. The asset is worth more than the individual prize. I think we can establish that now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, fellas, let's talk some NFL futures here. We've been talking them. I'm not quite sick of talking futures here, but I think by the time next week rolls around, it's going to be like, can we get to the games that actually count here? But still, a lot of good value out there, and there's thousands of different things you can bet on. So today we are targeting season-long quarterback props. A couple of big names, a bit of a conflict here between the fellas as well with one of these picks. So, Mettler, get us started. You were targeting your boy Jared Goff. What do you like for him?
I guess he is my boy this year with these picks I keep giving out. So I'm going Jared Goff over 25.5 passing touchdowns, minus 110. Just like to point out, I did pick him for MVP as well. I'm a Vikings fan, not a Lions fan. I actually don't like the Lions at all. So this isn't me just picking him because I live close to Detroit. When I was going through these numbers, I was kind of going both ways. Yeah, I was looking at the projections for Goff. There was like for him to throw 30 plus touchdowns, he was plus 300 at DraftKings. Then everywhere else, he was about plus 160. Which also pushed DraftKings off market just for his season long total. He's 25.5 minus 110 at DraftKings. Everywhere else, he's about 26.5 minus 110. I decided to go with kind of the more boring route, the over 25.5 minus 110 here. To me, it does feel really low for Goff for like what we've seen from him in Detroit the last 2 years. Then like I need a clip of Jingles saying they play 14 indoor games that I can just use on Twitter the whole year because I feel like it is a big factor. I feel like it is a big factor specifically for Goff. If you know, we go back a couple of years when he was with the Rams, he was terrible outside, right? Like that was the thing with him. Like he also went to Cal. He's a Cal guy. That was a big thing with him. And he's, you know, playing in Detroit, all these indoor games, that obviously really, really helps him. And I think that, you know, Jingles has done a great job pointing that out, the 14 indoor games there with him. I do feel like at 25.5, even I don't want to say it's that far off, but it does kind of feel like if he did miss like maybe one or two games, you could possibly still get there. I don't know. Just it does feel really low to me, the 25.5. It almost if you know, you ever see a number and it feels off to you, and then to the point where you're like, am I off? That's how I kind of felt with this Goff one here.
Often,
what?
Often.
Yeah. I am often off in many areas of life, but yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Okay, so so Goff to light it up, and you know, that offense quite prolific. Expecting a lot of overs in Lions games, especially in that week one game with the Rams in town. I think the total might have been 49.5 when I looked at it yesterday. Expect an over pick from yours truly when week one rolls around, and as long as that number doesn't go up too much. Okay, I'm going to piggyback off my Josh Allen to win MVP bet. I'm going to take him to throw for 4,000 plus yards. That one's going off at plus 190 over at Bet365. It's plus 155 over at FanDuel. So make sure you shop around if you like what I have to say here. So first of all, the obvious, he has cleared this quite easily in four straight seasons. He had a little over 4,300 last season. He topped out at 4,544 in 2020. Now, you might say, Joe, they don't have the star power at wide receiver. Well, they don't have the names, I guess, but is the wide receiver room really that big of a drop-off? We saw Stephon Diggs really fall off, especially in the second half last season. Gabe Davis, he really failed to establish himself as a top-tier number two guy. I don't really think he met the expectations there. So we know lots of potential for Keon Coleman. Everyone loves that guy. They get the two-headed tight end attack. Kincaid and Knox, those guys are going to get plenty of balls. And one thing you got to look at when you're taking an over on a player, NFL player prop season long, is what's their track record of staying healthy? Josh Allen's is pretty damn good. He's played five straight seasons with at least 16 games played. A lot of top tier guys can't say that. Lamar Jackson can't say that. Joe Burrow can't say that. Justin Herbert, injury concerns there. My guy Tua can't say that, unfortunately. But Josh Allen, Mahomes has been pretty damn healthy as well. But yeah, Josh Allen, over 4,000 passing yards. Okay, let's get to the conflict here. Jaden Daniels, pretty polarizing guy in preseason betting markets coming into the season. You guys have a difference of opinion on him. Jingles, you go first. Break down your case.
All right, me and Johnny will get into it. And Jaden Daniels just offers just a giant range of outcomes for things that he can do. If you're going to take Jaden Daniels to do something spectacular, get giant plus money, which Jono's doing. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of his stuff is slightly overvalued. This one is, that's Johnny's play. If we could skip to the next one at the rushing there, the Jaden Daniels rushing 550 minus 110. I got him for under 550. That's it. This number's been topped just six times in league history, and it hasn't been topped since 2019. Who was that? Kyler Murray. The small frame is a giant worry behind this Washington offensive line that allowed the second most sacks in 2023, and Sam Howell took an absolute beating, 65 sacks taken. I think Bryce Young was number two at 63, and then the next guy was 45. It was such a massive discrepancy between the top guys and the number three guys. But Jaden Daniels, in a sense of like someone like Anthony Richardson, is going to struggle to stay healthy. And this team is probably going to be passing a lot in negative game script, which is going to put Daniels in worse spots for injuries, especially if that confidence grows and we see him continue to try to make stuff happen with his legs. Guess what? It's a big boy league. Playing the entire season is going to be very difficult for Jaden Daniels. I think if he does stay healthy, he can put up giant numbers, but I think the risk of injury and the risk of missing some time is substantial. So under 550 rushing yards, minus 110. I wanted him. I started looking, and we'll get to you, John. I started looking at most regular season rookie rushing yards because I think that falls in our range of outcomes within him at plus 650, but you have something bigger in that terms of big money on the outside of that standard distribution.
Yeah, so
okay, Matt there. Yeah, you like him to fill it up here. Nice dual threat. Break down your side of it for us.
Yeah, so I'm going Jaden Daniels to lead the NFC East in rushing yards. It was plus 2,000. Like Jingles was saying, I do think there's, you know, we're going head to head here where he's playing it under. I'm playing a big, like, obviously, we're going to have a massive season here. But at the same time, I do like agree with Jingles' breakdown. And I think that's kind of what makes this conversation even more interesting is that I think if Jaden Daniels does hit and he stays healthy, I think he has that very, very high ceiling. but he could also get injured, like Jingles is saying, and go under. So I don't like, if you were to give me the 550 minus 110, I'm not sure I wouldn't play the over, because I am concerned about that with him as well. I just do think that if everything lines up with him, he can go big, and that's why I'm looking at this one. This was also a big the reason I like this bet was also because of who else is in this division with him. So if you look at Jayden Daniels and you think he can explode, if you bet him for 1,000 plus rushing yards, it was plus 850. I think if he gets to 1,000 rushing yards, he could win this market, and you're getting just slightly under $12 more on this thing. And the other thing too is, so like Saquon Barkley is the favorite to lead this market. His total's 1,500. So like, once again, it's like if Barkley, if that's his total, and you're kind of looking from 1,000 from Daniels, but the 1,000 plays plus 850. I also like, you know, the guys behind him, it's like Austin Eckler, Ezekiel Elliott. You know, a lot of injuries can come into play in this market for everyone. So like, if those are older names, I just don't see them like going way up. I know we can bring another conversation to this. I know Devin Singletary is also in there. He's up near the top of the board. And I know Jingles had a tweet yesterday saying he did like the over on Devin Singletary, but that was at about 750. So again, I was kind of looking at it from like that, like 1,000, right? Like if Jayden Daniels could get to that 1,000, which is it possible? He's got to stay healthy. But like, even you look at Lamar Jackson, he's a special, special rusher. And you look at Lamar Jackson, his rookie year, I think he started 7 games and had 695 rushing yards. Jayden Daniels is the week one starter. So if he's going 14, 15 games, he had 1,100 yards at LSU there. And in college too, a sack counts as negative rushing yards. It does in the NFL. Yeah. He had even more rushing yards than that. I just think you're looking at the, like Jingle said, the big outcome. And the big outcome to me, I think he could, I like the number. I like the plus 2,000 here. So,
okay, let's wrap things up with another dual threat quarterback, but we're going to take passing yards this time. I like Kyler Murray to get back into decent form here. Going to take over 3,400.5 passing yards, minus 112 over at DraftKings. So when he's healthy, he's easily topped this number. He's easily cleared this in every season where he's played at least 14 games, just shy 4,000 yards there in 2020. He's got some pretty good weapons in the offensive line that's improving too. Marvin Harrison Jr., Trey McBride could both emerge as top players at their positions. McBride, a really good tight end. He led the team in receiving yards last season. And here's the thing. Kyler Murray, this is a guy that became a bit of a punching bag. People like to make fun of him. The wheels really fell off of his career. The whole Call of Duty, not doing his homework. Then he had a serious injury. But he came back last year. He said all the right things. He did all the right things. The coaching team or coaching staff in the organization are clearly behind him. And like I said, he is coming off that major injury. His stats last season aren't going to blow anybody away. But 27 years old, this is a guy who should be right in the thick of his prime. I do think that maybe he has matured a little bit. And he's got some fun players around him playing on that fast track there down Arizona. Okay, so that's it for our look at NFL futures today. We're going to be back with a lot more on Friday and next week. And maybe the week after that as well. Big things happening at Before You Bet. Stay tuned for future announcements. Okay, fellas, thanks for joining the show. We will catch you guys again on Friday.
Thanks, Joe.
Indeed. Okay, let us shift gears once again. Every Wednesday, we are talking golf here. We are going to our guy, No Funny Business, In and Out, Mr. Neil Parker, or Neil Perrier. Did you change your last name?
Typo, bud. Good eyes.
All right. Neil Perrier from Paris, France, our golf expert here. Neil, how are we making out?
Good, man. Except for that. Otherwise, I think everything's pretty straight ahead. Coming off the good week at the Wyndham, our boy Aaron Monday Night Raw took home the title. So that was good to see. And yeah, three of the four guys came through with their finishing placements as well. So good tournaments from Davis Thompson, Billy Horschel, and Aaron Monday Night Raw. Or rye. I prefer raw, though.
There we go. I like it. Okay, so Neil, coming in hot, baby. It is the FedEx St. Jude Classic, or St. Jude Championship, I believe, is the official name of the tourney, going down in beautiful Memphis, Tennessee. So let's get right into it here. A couple of familiar names here. Let's start with a top 20, Patrick Cantlay. You like him to have a decent showing here?
Yeah, absolutely. Patrick Cantlay, prior to his T25 in the Open, finished top five in consecutive events. His game's in top form across the board, ranks fourth in true strokes gained tee to green, 11th in true strokes gained putting in this field during that three-tournament stretch. And TPC Southwind should prove to be a little bit of a happy place for Patrick Cantlay. He finished second, solo second, lost in a playoff last year to Lucas Glover, but he paced the field in true strokes gained tee to green. And he also has a T12 on his resume at this track. And I'm just really get the sense that the former FedEx Cup champion is flying a little bit under the radar given his form and his course history. So I like Patrick Cantlay again to have another excellent showing in Memphis at TPC Southwind.
Yes, sir. Okay, next up, another top 20 play. We have Russell Henley. Why do you like him this weekend?
I think there's plenty of people bullish about the Bulldog this week. He finished T6. He finished T6 here last year, and he's another player entering in excellent form. He's gained true strokes across the board, ranks eighth in both true strokes gained tee to green and on approaches through his past nine events. And one of the attributes about Russell Henley's game that I really appreciate the most is that he doesn't beat himself. He's second in three putt avoidance and 14th in scrambling percentage on tour this season. He's just consistently competed and contended in top heavy fields at difficult tracks all season long. He has consecutive top 10s in the past two major championships, top 10 in the Wells Fargo and the Arnold Palmer. And I just really think Henley's going to be right there taking a run at winning his fifth career PGA Tour title this week. Really like Henley, and I bet you he's one of the most popular plays.
Absolutely. Okay, let's bring it home here. Davis Thompson, a little bit more of a conservative play here, but you think a good one, a top 30 showing for him. What do you like about him?
I like everything about Davis Thompson. This is probably like the fourth time we brought him up, but everything continues to go right for him during his breakout season. He's seventh in adjusted scoring average. I believe he's 24th in the FedEx Cup standing, so that should give him a really good head start, and I think he's positioned to have a great playoff run. He's gained true strokes across the board while playing the weekend in nine consecutive events. That includes ranking 15th in true strokes gained tee to green, 14th in true strokes gained putting. And the thing that actually encourages me the most about Thompson right now is that his iron play, his approach play, has been a little bit lackluster the past three tournaments, but there's a perfect explanation. He won the John Deere Classic, immediately went across the pond and played the Genesis Scottish Open and then the Open Championship. So I'm looking for a little bit of that rebound in form, a few more shorter irons in hand, and for this track to really set up well for him to rebound with his irons and his approach play. And of course, he's coming off the strong top, T12 at the Wyndham. So I think everything's going to go right for Thompson, man. And I really think that he's an undervalued player. The final piece to the puzzle for his well-rounded game is that approach play, clicking back in to top form. And I'm confident he's going to have a really good showing. Really love Davis Thompson long-term. Think he's going to be a multiple PGA Tour winner in short order, but might be tough this week with this stacked field, but I see him playing all three events in the playoffs. So I really like Davis Thompson.
Okay, there you have it. Neil's three favorite plays. See if he can stay hot here this year down in Memphis, Tennessee.
What is it? Pierre.
Pierre, now they fix it. Shout out producer Mick. Got on that.
Mick, you're the man, buddy.
He is one of the hardest worker, one of the unsung heroes here at Covers, producer Mick. A beautiful, beautiful young man. Okay, Neil, best of luck with those picks this weekend. We will catch you. Actually, you cover a lot more than just golf here at Covers. Tell the people a little bit about what else you have going on here before we send you on your way.
Well, let's just fire it right off. We've got the LIV Golf tournament this week, and I've been I've actually had a good season with LIV Golf. I think there's at least three outrights. I know Dustin Johnson, Neiman, and John Rahm's win. We're all on the card. And this week, I like Louis Oosthuizen, and he's 21-1 or plus 2,000 at DraftKings. I think that's an outlier high price too. Enters in excellent form. I believe just off the top of my head, he has three runner-ups this season and another two or three, at least two top five finishes. So Louis Oosthuizen's been one of the best putters and scramblers on that circuit all year long, which is a rarity, right? Because he's best known for his smooth swinging gap tooth South African, you know what I'm saying? So if that ball striking comes back into play, to pair with his excellent putting and short game that he's shown off all year. There's a lot to like about Louis, but also looking forward. I'm already starting to jam up some preseason hockey, and do a little bit of MLB as well. On the Cubs beat quite a bit lately. I'm a big Cubs fan. So try to mix it up a little bit, Joe.
Indeed. Okay. Yeah. So make sure you check out our guy, Neil, much more than this, a one trick pony. Okay, Neil, we'll catch you on the show next week. Thanks, man.
Hey, my pleasure, buddy. Always appreciate the time, and have a good day out there, my man.
Indeed. Okay. Charles McDonald in the live chat says Bills Mafia locked and loaded. Yeah. Very interesting season here for the Bills. They get rid of Diggs, who became a bit of a headache. Sean McDermott on the hot seat. A little bit, though. If they don't have a good season, if they don't have a good showing in the playoffs, I mean, he's just hasn't proven to be a guy that can get them over the hump, right? Not a whole lot of teams in the AFC, though, getting over the hump against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Could you imagine Bill Belichick taking the reins of that team? Maybe with a good offensive coordinator, not that bum Josh McDaniels. Did you hear the story that came out yesterday? The Raiders were in a position before the draft last year to trade up to number 2 overall to take CJ Stroud. And instead, they wanted to go with Jimmy Garoppolo because Josh McDaniels, that bum, shot it down. That guy shouldn't be the offensive coordinator for a high school football team. But you got to assume if Belichick gets a job, he'll probably drag him along with him. We shall see. I don't think McDaniels has a job in the NFL this year. I might be wrong about that, though. Okay, that does it for today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who tuned in. Very quickly, I will recap my picks for Major League Baseball. I took Rangers Red Sox over 9 runs, minus 120. Dean Kramer under 17.5 outs, minus 115. And Joey Estes, I like this one, of the A's, under 3.5 earned runs, minus 135. I was fully prepared to take that at under 2.5, but there we go. Maybe a gift from the sports betting gods. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Best of luck with your bets tonight, and we will catch you again on Friday. Woo!